Hi there, and welcome to episode 41 of the Mother of Success podcast. I am your host, Heather Hennessy of Heather Hennessy Life Coaching, and I am so glad that you are with me for today's episode. This podcast is for working women who are new mothers. I am going to start by asking you to breathe with me. Whatever you are doing right now, take 6 deep breaths with me, in through your nose and out through your mouth. So welcome to Mothering Myself, August 2021 edition. If you have been with me for the past couple of months, you know that my father passed away at the beginning of June of 2021. So these past few episodes, I have been tracking along as I have worked myself through my own system. And you might be saying, why are you bothering to do this? The process that I'm taking myself through is completely relevant to you as a new working mother. I have guided myself and recorded it as I've gone through the process. Exactly the process that I work through my clients with. So if this happens to be your first episode, welcome. And the process that I've been using on myself during this period of my life is the process that I teach in detail. It's my schedule simplicity solution for new working mothers. And I give the entire process to people starting back in episode 16 of the podcast. So you can look back in the podcast, in your podcast app, find episode 16 and work your way forward from there. And you will have all of this available to you. Now, why is it the same thing? Why is it the same process for a new working mother who has welcomed her first baby and for me, a person who has lost a parent and is grieving a parent? It's the same because these are life events that cause our brains to go through like a rewiring. I'm not a neuroscientist. I don't have the details for you, but I'm confident that you could get this supported if you Google it. But the process of becoming a new mother and the process of grieving a loved one have both been shown to kind of rewire how our brains function. That process of rewiring your brain, it also causes us to, it's like enough of a disruption that it kind of causes our schedules to melt down. The welcoming of the baby for sure causes working mothers to have a scheduling meltdown. That is the entire premise of my system. And the process of grief kind of also slows everything down. And I'll go more into that later, but my coach, who has a lot of expertise in kind of coaching around, you know, grief and pain, my coach says that we actually metabolize grief, as in like we digest it in our bodies and the grief kind of becomes a part of us. This is similar to the adjustment to motherhood, I think. Motherhood becomes a part of us that didn't exist before. So in the case of a new mother welcoming the baby and the status of being a mother is something that we take forward with us into life. In my case, the loss of my father is now something that comes forward with me through the rest of my life. So I throw that framework out there, this sort of like metabolizing and digesting a life change. I offer that to you. It's been really helpful to my mindset for the past couple of months. So mothering myself here during August of 2021, I'm going to call this phase the four basics and then some. So if you listen to the past couple of episodes, episodes 39 and 40, you know that I really just went very much back to my four basics. And so over the past couple of weeks, I find that I have added some other things back in. So we're at the four basics and then some. That's what I'm calling this phase. With that mindset of that I am sort of metabolizing and digesting this loss and moving through a period of grief, I want to say at the outset that as the past few weeks have kind of brought into focus for me that my new schedule is going to look different. If you had put me under truth serum a couple of months ago, I would have said, oh, you know, the schedule that I was maintaining back in May, I'll return to that. That has not proven to be true. And instead, some new approaches are unfolding for me. So I'm not trying to reimpose my old schedule on myself. And that's also something that I coach my clients on all the time. And if you've listened to any of the episodes about the schedule simplicity solution, you might have been exposed to this, that the schedule after you become a working mother is going to look different. I couldn't have predicted this for you. I am adjusting and still getting my arms around it, but it looks different. My days and my time and my schedule look different than they did in May. So we'll come back to that in a moment. So what exactly is unfolding when I talk about that something is unfolding for me? What am I talking about? So like I said, it's the four basics and then some. So we'll do basic number four first, because it's kind of its own creature, that work schedule, my professional time. So on the work front, I have kind of brought back in the full scope of my professional duties, I guess I would call them, right? I have fully re-engaged with all of my existing clients, and I am taking on new clients and, you know, podcasting, all the things. And that naturally unfolded for me as being something where my capacity just increased little by little. And then one day I was like, oh, I'm back at sort of like full function, full capacity. Okay. So that took a good 6 weeks. And when you put it together with the time that I took while my father was in hospice, I was 6 or 8 weeks where I was leaning heavily on some of my work colleagues and some other resources. And as you know, if you've listened to some of the past few episodes, I set the podcast aside. There was a phase of time where I was not accepting new clients. So I have, you know, reopened to all of the things professionally. So that's basic number four. Like I said, that's sort of a self-contained one that's pretty easy to summarize. So on basics, numbers one and two, which are under my system, that is sleep and caring for myself. So those two really remain my top most priorities, but they've also gotten much, much easier, right? Like my sleep was very disrupted in the beginning, and I was waking up in the middle of the night with a lot of like sadness and emotions that were kind of rising to the surface when I was sleeping. So my sleep has kind of re-regulated again, and I am eating on my anti-inflammatory system that I like to eat on, and I'm right back into my Pilates routine that I like a lot. What I have not done is go back to my full-on like 6 days a week workout. I'm up to like 3 or 4 days, depending on the week. So 2 days of Pilates and then another day of the treadmill, or like yesterday I did some yard work, you know, like sort of getting in more movement and more like physical activity, but not doing like 6 days a week of scheduled workouts. I can feel myself moving toward that, but I'm not doing that yet. And I'm not even like worried about it. Like I feel confident. I have a lot of trust in myself that I will, you know, get back to 6 days a week, which is where I like to be and where I want to be in the long haul. And I will get there, but I'm not there currently. And I've also, like, I'm back to my normal, like, household functions that I like to do for myself and my family. This is just me with my, like, preferences for things like housework and other sort of routine stuff. Some of that I intentionally had excluded during June and early July when I was really only doing the four basics. I gradually folded those things back in as my capacity increased little by little. Same thing with my clients, right? Like when one of my clients is at the point where she really feels like she's gotten her, you know, kind of handle on basics number one and two, and she's looking around and she's like, wait a minute, I want that laundry folded, right? Like it is my preference that I fold all the laundry on Sundays so that when I wake up in the morning on Monday, all of my clean laundry is folded and put away. I like that kind of thing. So that's what I mean when I say like my kind of like stuff that I like to do around the house. So, you know, it's not glamorous. It's just part of the way that I care for myself and part of the way that I sort of satisfy my like preferences of how does my life function? Do you know what I mean? So anyway, that has come back together for me, again, in a way that was very gradual. Now, basic number three, which is for those of you who are new to the system, basic number three is, you know, the act of mothering your child. So basic number three for me, all through this process, that's been pretty constant. That is one place where I did not dial back at all. If anything, I have spent more time actively in like hands-on mom mode than I was, you know, before my dad died. Part of that is very intentional. I'm going to record an entire podcast about this for next week's episode, but for now, I will just say it was very intentional on my part to be present as a mother during this time when we are grieving the loss of my father. For some of you know this, but my father-in-law died early in 2020. So now my son, my young child has lost two grandfathers here very close together, you know, a year and a couple months apart. So very much kind of wanting to be present for him in some meaningful ways. And again, more about that next week. And quite frankly, the time that I had pared back, especially from basic number four in early June and July, that time was instead being devoted to basics number one, two, and three, right? To extra sleep, caring for myself, and, you know, hands-on mothering of my son. So that's kind of the roundup on the four basics. Now, I will say that my increase in capacity that I described in the four basics, both professionally and personally, those really moved in parallel. So I didn't find myself sort of favoring one or the other, or one, you know, the personal over the professional or vice versa. They really kind of increased naturally at the same pace, which is interesting. That's not the case for my clients all the time, though that might be the place where sort of my current situation of grieving is different from what my clients go through as brand new working mothers. I was in a pretty good groove with all four of my basics, of course, before my father died, versus a new working mother who's plugging motherhood into an existing professional life. So do you see what I mean there? Like my experience has been very balanced in as far as, you know, personal and professional. What I see sometimes with my clients is that they gravitate toward work. They're so kind of mystified and intimidated by motherhood. The work is the easier place to go. And hey, I coach on that a lot. That's normal. That happened for me once upon a time. But in this specific part of my journey, they were kind of moving at the same rate. And I think as I sort of sit here today recording this, it's the first Monday in August. It is 2 months after my dad died. I really think that I am more or less returned to my, like, I guess what I would call my natural set point for my personal and professional life and my schedule. It's not the same, but it feels like I have returned to my natural, like, baseline set point, if you know what I mean by set point, right? Like the sort of place where I naturally gravitate toward as like a happy zone for, you know, kind of feeling good and handling all of my life in the way that I want to handle it without like crisis moments and, you know, time shortfalls or any kind of real hiccups. Like I'm delivering client work on time and I'm getting my hair done, you know, like all the sort of like measurable things that I track for myself as a person, they're all happening in the way that I want them to. And then meanwhile, I also found myself just in the past couple weeks planning some family outings, right? We went to a local orchard and picked peaches this past weekend. And 2 weeks ago, we went to a fairgrounds nearby for an event. So, you know, both of those weekend outings, right, they took some planning and some preparation and like packing a picnic, right? And I found that I was up for those things here in the latter part of July. So I'm keeping them simple and local, right? We're not like doing any big trips, but it's just another sign that I'm perceiving. It's another sign to myself that I've got that increased capacity for life beyond my four basics, you know, these days, two months into my grief. So I said the four basics and then some. So what falls under the then some category? Several things. We traded in our car, right? We're some of those people who got the, you know, the notice from the dealership that they wanted our old car as a trade-in. And we were like, well, I wonder how much we, right? We sort of, my husband and I sort of started this process and we ended up trading in our car. You know, that takes some organization and some focus and some, you know, like, okay, so if we're going to get rid of the old car, what do we want the new car to look like? So that's what that's the kind of thing that I'm putting under the then some category. I also signed up for tennis lessons, which I would have never predicted I would have done. I had taken tennis camp when I was 12 or 13 and I hated it. And I had a belief that I could not play tennis. And at some point I was just like, this belief is garbage. Of course I could figure out how to play tennis. They teach like, you know, little kids how to play tennis. Like I could figure this out. So sure enough, I signed up for some tennis lessons and it's been fun. I never, you know, would have thought that if you had, this is another thing. If you had asked me in May, like, what were the least likely things that I would do? Signing up for tennis lessons would have been one of those things. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to take something that you don't think is available to you or possible and to prove yourself wrong. That's where I am right now with this tennis thing. I'm not saying that I'm good at it, but I'm trying. And, you know, for somebody who's brand new to tennis in her mid-40s, I think I'm doing pretty well. I'm going to stick with it. Anyway, also something that I definitely would not have had the capacity for a few weeks ago, but which right now I'm like, yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm going to learn some tennis. So the third thing under the then some category is so typical of me. So I serve on a volunteer board that I am passionate about it. It has directly to do with, you know, childcare in our community and like working mothers. So it's just, I'm just passionate about it. And I took on some extra responsibility there. And really I was sitting in a meeting of the larger group and all these people are talking, and I realized that no one was speaking up about working mothers or working parents at all, really. So I spoke up. So I wound up getting appointed to the organizing committee, naturally. But I'm glad to do it. And I have now got the mental and emotional bandwidth to do this, you know, volunteerism. And so anyway, that feels really fun. Number four under then some is that I took part of last week and I did a massive clean out of my office. Like a major purge of old documents and a bunch of other like stuff that I just kind of had sitting around. It felt really good. It feels like, you know, having a clean office sort of clears out your brain. And I also, this is related to sort of the caring for myself and my food protocol. I got on the scale for the first time in a few months. I had not really been actively tracking my weight, which is not unusual for me. I lost a lot of weight. I really maintained that weight loss without too much grief, but I did notice that some of my clothes were tighter. So I got on the scale. Sure enough, my weight is up. Some of that, I think, is the grief, right? The physical manifestation of the grief. And so, you know, it's not something that I'm all that concerned about. I trust myself to get where I want to be, and I'm not in any hurry about that specifically. But, you know, for those of us who have had a kind of lifelong struggle with their weight, and even after all the coaching that I've had, you know, to sort of dust off the scale and get on it after a few months and, you know, see a number that was higher than what it had been the last time I got on, you know, I was pretty proud of myself for that. So I also count that as an indication that I have the capacity to kind of take care of myself in that regard and get my thyroid checked out here shortly and just kind of be paying attention there in a way that maybe I had not been especially present to in recent months. And then the other thing that I've done is I mentioned on the last episode that I had signed up with a new coach, and I had signed up for her introductory offer, which was 2 sessions. So I bought an extended package of engagements with her so I can go deeper into her work. And I'm really excited about that new coaching relationship. And it was just thrilled to get the opportunity to work with her some more. So that is kind of my 4 basics and then some. Now, turning to back where I kind of started with talking about like metabolizing the grief in my case, which is still very much a present state of emotions for me. In fact, today is a really sad and hard day. I sort of woke up early with a wave of sadness and also like I'm okay. Do you know what I mean? Like the sadness and the grief are moving through my day with me. I've got client calls, right? Like I've done some client work earlier in the day. I'm going to go to a tennis lesson later in the afternoon. So the I don't want you to get the impression that I'm telling you that this process has been neat and tidy and linear, or that it's over. And that is a huge point for all of my clients that I work with, right? The adjustment to working motherhood is not neat and tidy and linear, and it's not on a specific schedule. So I just am aware of that for myself as well, and I wanted to call specific attention to it. Today is a day where the emotion of grief is present in my body, and I'm also okay. So there's already sort of several surprising things that I have to report just from the past 2 months. And the other big development is that some of the things in my life look exactly the same, and some of them look very different. And when I look at what's unfolding in ahead of me, I can tell that some of my systems for scheduling myself have changed, and that what's unfolding for me is actually feeling even more flexible and sustainable. Now, I am both surprised and delighted by this development. I'm delighted for myself. I'm delighted for you, right? Because I am an expert. I teach this stuff professionally. I coach people on this stuff professionally. If you had asked me the week before my father's health declined, I would have honestly told you that I had my schedule as a working mother pretty well dialed in. And it turns out, and I have proven to myself over the past couple of months, I could still innovate. It turns out that the disruption of my father's health decline and his time in hospice and his death actually held an opportunity for me that I didn't even know I wanted. And now I get to turn that into, bonus for all of you. And also, it just kind of keeps me in the mindset of continuing change and continuing adaptability and flexibility for my clients. If you follow me at all, you know that I don't give people prescriptive, like, scheduling templates. I don't think they're useful. So specifically, what am I seeing as I'm unfolding? I had a scheduling template that I used to use for myself, and I have ditched it. I loved that template, actually. I had worked on it for ages. I thought it was perfect. I thought it was my most favorite scheduling template of all time. I deleted the file. And I feel really good about that. And I feel really good about this process that is unfolding before me of reimagining what I want my template to look like. I think that in the best of times, a template is just kind of a jog for my brain, right? To tell me, like, these are the things I want to pay attention to with my time. And it's on paper here in this handy reference so that my brain, so that I'm not looking at a blank sheet of paper. That's what I think that a template does for us in the best of times. But even that exercise I recognized had become sort of calcified. And I didn't want it to be calcified. The calcification, it had It had stopped serving me. It was time to reimagine. Again, this puts me in exactly the position that so many of my clients are in, that reimagination phase that my new working mothers are going through. So I am right there in it, and I am thrilled. I kind of, when I deleted the file, I then kind of panicked. I had a little bit of a panic attack, but I very quickly moved on. I see the opportunity ahead of me, and I am going to seize it. And I cannot wait to help all of you delete what is not serving you, what is calcified and outlived its usefulness. Ooh, get on my schedule. Let's hit the delete button. So fun. And so specifically, that's one thing that I have done that has been an innovation that is unfolding before me. I also found a new ability to serve my clients and work in my business while also actively parenting. Not like multitasking, but more of a shift of focus from moment to moment. I had a rule before, right? That's like, I find dedicated pieces of the day and I work during those dedicated pieces of the day, and I am, you know, with my son during other dedicated pieces of the day. That also had, it felt calcified, right? It felt like a bit of a straitjacket. So I threw that out too. It's pretty fun. I did not know that I had that ability to kind of gently shift gears from one to the other. It's a learned skill for sure, but I think I'm onto something there. I cannot wait for some of you to go through some of that with me as well. It certainly opens up a lot of flexibility for working mothers when we see ourselves as fully capable of doing both from moment to moment. I mean, obviously, if I'm on a client call, I've made other plans for my child, but to be able to sort of flow through our days without that sort of rigid structure, it takes a lot of the kind of angst about our schedules as working mothers out of the mix. So it's been fun. That has been a really fun development as I have innovated here recently. I found some efficiencies also, which I love. I love, you know, finding new ways to be more efficient. Kind of when I relax a little bit more, I tend to find a lot more efficiencies. There's your, right? Coming from the feeling of confidence and relaxation, this working mother can find a lot of efficiencies in her workday. And then the other thing specifically that I am going to keep around for the long haul is leaving some blank spaces in my calendar every day. I had been kind of aspiring to do that in the past, but not necessarily achieving that. And that is here to stay. Blank spaces in my workday, is that practice is here to stay. A lot of the efficiencies that I'm speaking about, I've actually come up with during some of those blank spaces that I've built into my workday. So just in exactly the same way that I have the skill set that I am able to apply to myself for my own benefit over and over and over again, my clients get the same thing, right? This exactly what I've described to you. The foundation of the four basics, then whatever they want to build on top of the four basics, and then to take that in whatever direction serves them best. So this episode is probably where I'm going to conclude this specific series of podcasts that I've devoted to this time in my life, right? Like the sort of specific grieving and going back to my four basics and, you know, today the process that I'm really describing of this rebuilding. And I hope that this has been really helpful information for the working mothers who are listening along with me in real time, and also for anybody who might find these episodes later. And this period of the past couple of months, because of what I said at the beginning, this period of grief is as close to my experience of new working motherhood as anything that I have experienced since my baby arrived. Again, in both instances, the human brain is rewiring itself to accommodate the new way of the world. And, you know, grieving the loss of a family member and welcoming a new baby, right? In the conventional wisdom, these two experiences are supposed to be on the opposite ends of the emotional spectrum. One is supposed to be very sad and one is supposed to be very joyful. They are not at opposite ends of the emotional spectrum. They are both a mixed bag, right? It is the experience of grief and sadness and loss. Some of that is present for a new working mother. The experience of sort of newness and oh, this is different. My life is different now. That is also present for somebody who's grieving, right? This sort of like cultural demarcation that we have between the two, it breaks down after a point. So it's because I spend, you know, so much time thinking about and talking to new working mothers, it is crystal clear to me that new working motherhood involves a lot of sadness, pain, loss, and grief. It's just, it takes people so by surprise. Just like grief can be a little bit bittersweet, so is motherhood. And I also love it that I have gotten this, you know, pretty rare opportunity to have you see in real time exactly the ways that I, as a coach and an expert in scheduling, work through this process in my real life. All of my tools and all of my resources are on full display as I apply them to myself. So this is not theoretical stuff. This is not just, you know, on paper that I don't actually do it in reality. I do it in reality. I know it works because I use it myself. And I also want to really make a point that I am so glad that I have the skill set and the expertise to both go through this couple of months of mourning and the loss of my father in a way that is for my highest good and my family's highest good and for your highest good. And I did not suffer as I put these podcasts together. And that's important to note for you. I am practicing what I preach in that regard, right? My ability to podcast today is after I am rested, after I am nourished, after I am supported internally using my own tools, and while my child is, you know, situated and happy and all that good stuff, right? None of this process has happened at my own expense. I am not acting in some misguided capacity as, you know, any kind of false example. Like, I really am, as much as I can be right now, thriving as I sit here and speak to you today. This is exactly how I see the trajectory for my clients. This is how it happens for them, right? Just like I was telling you, I had like a before, you know, quote unquote, before starting point in, you know, May. Then and we all have that, right? Every one of my clients has something that her life looked like before she had a baby. Then we undergo a profound life event, and then we spend a, you know, period of time adjusting and finding out what the after, quote unquote, version looks like for ourselves. And the after, quote unquote, version looks different than the before version in a lot of ways that maybe we had anticipated, and then in some ways that are completely unexpected. That process can unfold to our benefit or to our detriment. I want all of my clients to undertake that process to their benefit, which is what I have done with myself here in the past couple of months. There are tons of ways for you to make similar changes for yourself as a new working mother that are not at your own expense. I promise you that is a true statement. Your next move can be toward your thriving and toward something new unfolding for you where you get better and more empowerment using your schedule as a leverage point. I want to thank you so much for listening today. Please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and rate and review it if you have not already done so. And if I can be helpful to you as you become the working mother you most want to be, please feel free to visit my website or contact me through social media. All of those links are in the show notes wherever you found this podcast. Take good care of yourself.